The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
Oh, hallelujah. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's not just be visiting. Let us all believe in Him.
Is that your desire? So we say,
see the angels wide all around, beautiful and swaying as they hear the sound. As God's people, now we're lost, now we're found. So what do you expect?
Wherever we go, wherever we go, let the river flow. Lord, let everyone know. We say hallelujah, hallelujah. Wherever we go, may the Lord's river flow. Say hallelujah, hallelujah, because hallelujah is what the angels sing. Hallelujah is why we gather to pray. Hallelujah, come whatever may, we say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
One more time, can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Praise Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, our God. We bless your name. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving. We worship you. You are the mighty God. Great is your faithfulness. There's no one like you in all the earth. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty.
Just and true.
Just and true are thy ways.
Are thy ways,
thou King of saints.
Great and marvelous are thy works.
Great and marvelous are thy works,
Lord God Almighty.
God Almighty,
just and true are thy ways.
True are thy ways,
thou King of saints.
Thou King of saints,
who shall not fear thee?
Who shall not fear thee
and glorify thy name?
And glorify thy name,
for thou art holy.
Thou art holy,
righteous, magnificent,
righteous.
Glorious, great, 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 great,
glorious,
great, 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 are thy works, great, great. Yes, they are.
Great, 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 great.
Yes, they are.
Great, 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 great.
Are thy works? Are thy works? One more time. Great and marvelous are thy works.
Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty.
Just and try thy ways.
True are thy ways, thou King of saints.
Thou King of saints, great and marvelous,
great and marvelous are thy works,
Lord God, Lord God Almighty.
Just and true are thy ways,
are thy ways, thou King of saints,
thou King of saints.
Who shall not fear thee?
Who shall not fear thee
and glorify thy name?
And glorify thy name,
that holy.
Thou art holy,
righteous,
righteous,
magnificent,
magnificent,
glorious,
glorious, great, 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 great.
Can you say
great, 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 great?
One more time, great are thy works. Great, 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 great.
Great, 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 great. Great, 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 great. Great, 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 great
are thy works. Hallelujah. Great are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways. Who shall not fear ye? And glorify your name, glorious one. We come today acknowledging your awesomeness. That's how you find expression in this house freely tonight. The spirit of truth guide us into all truth concerning you and your heart and your will and your mind. Rejoice over us and be glad. Thank you. I ask for seeing eyes, hearing ears, understanding hearts, and a mouth to speak plainly.
Amen.
May your power be great.
Amen.
We assemble to you in obedience, in knowledge, with understanding. May the fruit of understanding be ours to enjoy.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wherever you are, may the mercy and the power and the presence of the Lord be with you. May this word be spirit and life.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You may have your seat. I'll take off right from the beginning with some important notices. Now we have been undergoing a season of I want to say remembering tabernacles, then I'm hesitating because you don't remember tabernacles. You foreshadow tabernacles. You remember Passover and Pentecost. This is the feast that has not yet been celebrated. The one referred to as the forgotten feast of the church. The three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. These three feasts are the three times the Lord demands that his people appear before him. These three seasons. And because we can never have sufficient time to look at the Word of God, I will attempt to show you in brief some of the things that this season marks. I will make random references to things that have been said before, and I'll say them again, as today might be the wrap-up on all the things we have looked at in the last 21 days that preceded today. Beginning with the Feast of Trumpets, the season known as Tabernacles or Sukkot in the Hebrew, was the third great feast that the Lord appointed for his people. And all who have been coming have heard me refer to this over and over again from all sorts of scriptures. You see that in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, where it says, three times in a year, let all your males come before the Lord your God in the place named by him, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, which we call Pentecost. That's the Greek rendition. 50. And the Feast of Tents. Tents. Different translations. Some call it tabernacles. Some call them booths. B-O-O-T-H-S. Booths. A tent. A concept which we will investigate, hopefully, a bit more, so that we can understand what the Feast of Tabernacles means. Today, by the grace of God, I'll be saying things that we have not shared before with regards to this feast. But we've seen sufficiently in past years and in this year also that this feast involves the people of God having God dwell amongst them. The promise he made, and I'll dwell among them, walk among them, they will be my God, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. That's the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, quoting earlier promises that the Lord had made. And he told us how to get ready. He began, if you look at verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Then he goes on to say, come out from among them and be separate. That's what the feast represents. To celebrate Sukkot, to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, you come out. There's a reason why this is a future feast. Because the Lord was giving us opportunity to come out. He gave us just 2 days to do it, 2,000 years. That's how long and that's how important Sukkot is. If you look at the diagram we have here, the timeline of the ages, you see from shortly after Abraham, a few hundred years after Abraham, you have Moses, and he's given the law for 1,500 years. Spanning that time, from the time God called out Abraham, he calls him out and he gives him, you see what we call the Passover. If you look at Adam to Abraham, the period is known as the age of chaos. Every man more or less did as they liked in their own eyes. And then the Lord shows up, Abraham, come out. He calls him out. After he calls him out, he enables him. And then his descendants, God is very clear, your descendants will be slaves. And then he takes them out. And the period of Passover begins. I'm going to encourage you to be very attentive. If you're outside, you're still on the way for whatever reason, I ask you to tune in, be very attentive. Too many of you, you lose out too many things. Don't understand things 15 years after you first heard them. Try and understand them the first time. It will give you a huge advantage. The more you understand, a wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increases strength. And don't let the enemy do this to you as he does to many of you. He says, you won't understand it. Don't bother. Why should you not understand it? Am I speaking Greek? It's English. You can understand some of it. I know you build line upon line. But I try to make it really simple. So you should understand it. So do not let the enemy distract you. Don't tune out. Don't be distracted. The more you know, the better positioned you are. The more you understand what is happening, the more you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The more you learn the ways of warfare, the more you can be assured of victory. The less you try, the less of an effort you make, the less you stand up and rouse yourself. What's your chance of winning? So you must arise and go forth. I heard, I saw a short few clip that someone clipped out of a prophet's word, exhortation. I saw it today and he said the word occupy till I come, and he referred to the word occupy. That is the word pragma. T-Zomai, something like that. Now, you know the English word from that is to be pragmatic. To be pragmatic means to be practical and it involves doing. To be non-pragmatic is to sit down in a corner and go, well, let's see how it will go. That's not being pragmatic. Being pragmatic involves an attitude that says, all right, so what can we do? What can we do about it? So do you think it means being realistic and approaching things with a certain attitude. So if the Lord says we should be pragmatic until he comes, you best be. If you sit down, some of us that you know, we so want to do God's will that, so that no, whatever the Lord wants, whenever he wants you, he'll wake us up. No, set an alarm. The Lord is not offended with alarms. Do you understand? If God wants me to wake up, no, be pragmatic. Set an alarm to wake up. Say, no, I trust. Don't you trust the Lord to wake you up? I trust him to wake you up by 8. 8 that morning. Other than that, set an alarm. Everybody that can tell you a story of how the Lord wakes them up will tell you, most of them, that first they set an alarm over and over again. Then the Lord looked on them and had pity on them. Some of them that used to sleep through alarms, he saw their hunger. You try, he sees you being pragmatic. Is this clear? All right, so the scriptures tell us that Abraham was given the promise. The law, however, came through Moses. Grace comes through Jesus Christ. I spoke about this in the last meeting, I believe. What I didn't go on to talk about was truth, but I've spoken about it many times in the past. Grace and truth. See, Moses said that a prophet like unto him will come. Whoever wouldn't listen to him will be cut off from amongst his people. The law was given through Moses. Moses did his part. Part one. The law. Stage one. That's God building upon God. Not God displacing. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. I explained this 2 or 3 meetings ago again. So picture a sandwich. One piece, another piece, then another piece. Then you call it a sandwich. Other than that, it's an accident. Meat, bread. Hello. That's not a sandwich. Do you understand? 3 layers. The law. favor, grace. Ooh, that smells good. For everyone, yes. Truth. Bam. That's God's sandwich. Jesus brings the last two. Moses brought the first. Moses brought the first. So the Lord Jesus did not come to discard what Moses brought. He came to add, to make it complete. So eating one slice of bread can be a dry experience. Eating a slice of bread with jam, with margarine, with butter, with, a meat, a slice of meat, ground meat, put on that meat patty, you know, and then you add another one. It's a different experience, that mix. Peanut butter, whatever. The experience is different. Yeah, there was bread, but there was more than bread. Something that made the bread nicer. Is that clear? Something that made it go down more smoothly, more pleasant. And that's what the Lord came to do. So you see, from Abraham to the time of Jesus, 2,000 years passed. And that period is what we refer to as the period of Passover. Moses was in the middle of that. The law, Passover, it represents the Lord Jesus' death on the cross. God put a system of laws that distinguished the Jews from the Gentiles. That's the rest of the world. What was their difference? These ones had forgiveness of sins yearly. Once a year, blood was given on their behalf. Once a year. And then there's the rest of the world. Their sins testify against them constantly. There was no break in the accumulation of sin. So much so that when a time came, God will raise another nation to wipe them out or to judge them like that over and over again. But Israel's sins would be moved out every year. From the time the law came, Israel's sins would be moved out, would be moved out, would be moved out. And they could start on a new slate. Do you see this? Thereafter, what followed? We had Pentecost, the season that the Lord Jesus, as he came and was on his way out, he left behind. He came and he left behind the Holy Spirit. At the end of a 49-day period, the Holy Spirit came. When the Holy Spirit came, it represented the law of God starting to be written in our hearts. So there's the Passover lamb taking away the sins. Then there's the Holy Spirit. The Lord comes down the mountain to teach them his laws. It says when the Spirit comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll teach you all things. That's what these feasts represent. Then there's the third feast, which is the focus of this season, and of which today marks the last on the Essene calendar. This is the day after the last 7 days of tabernacles, the 8th day. We'll read about that soon in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. And it tells you that these seasons are the feasts of the Lord. And that's what it means in verse 16. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16 and 17. It says, 3 times a year, all your men are to appear before the Lord your God in the place he will choose. Now, I've told you, where's the place he has chosen now? His name is Jesus. Remember your classes. He has given him a name. He shall put his name in a place. Before then, they would call it what? Jerusalem. the city of the great king. Now the king has come. Commence the work. And then comes to reside within us. Makes us part of his body. So we are in the body of Christ. That's where he has put his name in Acts chapter 4. He has given him a name. There's no other name under heaven by which men might be saved. The Lord Jesus is the place that he has chosen. Did I show you that that's where the Jacob's ladder, the angels ascend and descend? Yes, Jesus said it in John chapter 1. He said, hey, look at me, Nathaniel. You are amazed that I saw you under the fig tree? What will you do? You're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You will see that. You will see heaven open. That's the place that was called Bethel. That is where Jacob lay down and slept and woke up, and there he saw angels ascending and descending. And he poured out oil and raised an altar, lifted his pillow as a rock, and spoke to the Lord, if you take me and bring me back. The Lord Jesus is the one who takes you and brings you back. He is the house of God, Bethel. Did we see this last week?
Yes, sir.
I didn't say all of this, but I said parts enough for you to understand that the Lord Jesus is Bethel. He is the house of God. I showed you how in him dwells the fullness of the God bodily. We saw how John chapter 14 said, I am in my Father's house. That's Bethel. El means God. Beth is house. House. House of God. In my Father's house. That's the house of God. Bethel. Are many dwelling places. I told you about the word money. Money is not mansions. It just means residences. Rooms. That's the safest word. Rooms. My Father's house are many rooms. I'm going there to make a way and take you there. So it doesn't mean a big fantastic. It just means a space that you can call your own. And he was going to the cross. And we spoke about how he went to the cross and opened up his side. Just like Adam the first. So he could bring out his woman. Who God says, the man was formed from the dust of the earth. But the woman was built from the side that was taken. And Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. So the same process. The perfect planning of God was being implemented and has been implemented until this time. It's still being implemented. Now, why is tabernacles important? Because this feast has not been fulfilled at all. The Lord Jesus went up, and we are clear that the heavens have received him until the times of refreshing God has promised. Then God will send him. Before that time, we are in the wilderness. Have we seen this? All sorts of things we studied in this last couple of weeks are going to tie up today. We have been in the wilderness. When did we see that? Friday? We've been on a journey. We've been on a journey. The church is still in the wilderness. The 40 on us that we are to go through, 40 cycles of time from the Lord Jesus. We are to go through that. Each of that comprised of a jubilee. One jubilee is 50 years. So every jubilee is 50 times 40 makes. And I showed you we are in the last jubilee but one. We have 2 years left to enter the final jubilee. And it will be a complete 40 cycles. So you can be assured that the Lord shows up soon. Guaranteed. This is not they have been saying since. See, people said and kept missing it because they did not understand the times and seasons of God. You can't make the light of the world. We've seen this. You say, I've shown you how you can understand truth and be a bit more sure. You approach it from multiple angles. Not just one. You don't just pick one thing and say, can you see this? Can you see? People have tracked all sorts of patterns and it failed them. Why do you think it failed them? They had one witness. You must have multiple witnesses. So you need the additional witnesses to make sure that that thing is unbreakable. It's on the fourth day that the light, God makes the greater light and the lesser light. It had to be the 4,000th year, which is 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day, that the Lord Jesus came. He couldn't come before. Before Jesus was born, multiple people thought some great man was the Messiah. He was not. None of them could have been the Messiah, because the light of the world can only, the greater light can only come on the fourth day. So Jesus could not come before the 4,000th year. It had to be the fourth day. Creation speaks of God's handiwork. Creation speaks of that which God is doing. So 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus, that's 4,000 years. That's 4 days. So you go to Genesis 1, on the fourth day, God said, and he created. Anyone that showed up 2,000 years later, 1,000, anyone that came to Noah, came to anybody, Abraham, anyone, it doesn't matter how great the prophet was, and said, are you the Messiah? Could only be wrong. The calendar has to line up with your thinking. The calendar is off, you're off. Now, what happens at the sixth day? It's at the sixth day that God creates man. So you cannot have the perfect man. You cannot have the body of Christ come to the fullness of the stature of the perfect man before the sixth day. So everyone that showed up 5,000 years ago, everyone that showed up, I mean 100, 200, 300, 400, the church cannot mature till the sixth day, for it is on the sixth day. And it's not first. Man is not made first. Man is made last, because the rule is that the last shall be the first. So there are multiple rules that must align. And God put all of that here for us to find like treasure. The sixth day, the animals were created on the same sixth day. Not just Adam. The animals. That's when they were created. The ones that are most like man, that operate on the earth, that have four hair, that breathe, that are mammals, that and so on. Not fish, not reptiles and birds. No, that's not their day. The ones that are most like man, because what is saved on the ark is not just man. So the principle must align. And they are bringing out the different creatures. Now, who do those animals represent? Acts chapter 10. Peter sleeping, shit comes down with all kinds of unclean animals. And who are they? Go downstairs. They are looking for you. The Gentiles, all the nations of the earth, are the wild animals. The perfect man, the church, without spot or wrinkle, is made at the same time that the rest of humanity comes together. It's one boat, one ark, one salvific work that contains all of them. And it had to be 8 human beings on that boat for a new beginning to be able to commence. These are not errors. These are not chance events. These are deliberate workings of the sovereign God speaking as he does through his handiwork. When the season came, it was done. Destruction came on the earth. God judged the earth for the sins of man. The same thing is about to repeat itself. It will not be with water this time. It will be with fire. He will judge again. And again, he's going to collect all sorts. And you will not say they are unclean. And he will save them. He will lift them up and out of that situation and place them with his chosen ones, his elect company. And then he will renew the first face of the earth, and he will create a new heaven and a new earth as he promised in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. Verse 22. Okay. For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will endure before me, declares the Lord. So your descendants and your name will endure. And if you have looked at it from verse 19, you see the Lord said the things I've just finished saying to 21. I will establish a sign among them, and I will send survivors from among them to the nations, to Tarshish, Put, and the archers of Lut, to Tubal, Javan, and the islands far away, who have not heard of my fame, who have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. So they will proclaim my glory among the nations, and they will bring all your brothers from all the nations as a gift to the Lord, on horses and chariots and wagons and mules and camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, just as the Israelites bring an offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. Then 21, 22. And I will select some of them as priests and Levites, says the Lord. So these are the kings and priests who will reign on the earth, the intermediaries between God and mankind. And I will select some of them. Say the elect. There has to be a walking, a dealing. The word of God must come to pass. For just, he now does a comparison. For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will endure before me. This is Isaiah seeing glimpses, grabbing pics, saying what he saw. So your descendants will, and your name will endure. Keep going. Verse 23. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath, time of rest, to another. Read. All mankind will come to worship before me, says the Lord. All mankind. Let's just finish. Let's just go to hell briefly. As they go forth, they will see the corpses of the men who have rebelled against me. Read. For their womb will never die. Their fire will never be quenched. And they will be a horror to all mankind. Do what you like with that. But it's there. It's not in the sky. Just like the part before, it's not in the sky. None of it is in the sky. Earth is ground zero. It happens here. It's here the worm will not die. It's here the fire will not be quenched. We teach what we can teach of this. We teach 20%, 30%. Someday we teach 100% as we see. Let's leave hell. Go back to heaven briefly. All mankind will come to worship before me, from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another. This is the future. This is not the past. This is not the present. This is the future. This is an age in the ages of this earth. What is, has been. What will be, is. The cycles of God will go on. We come in our day, we go when it's time up. The Lord, by His Spirit, tells us of things to come. Remember when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll tell you things to come? Scriptures, holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit. You guys did not invent the Holy Spirit. I've told you, it's a continuum. Do not think too highly of yourself. It's a continuum. It's a continuum. Others have planted. Others come and reap. So he that plants and he that reaps might rejoice together. Stop trying to distinguish yourself so strenuously. You just came up in your own time. Remember, some men came and started work by 6 a.m.?
Yes,
some by 9, some by 12, some by 11. You don't show up by 11 and say, we are the only ones. New creation, reality. Sit down. You're embarrassing the heavenly pantheon. They are wondering, what are these? Oh, we are the final. We are the greatest meat ever to be found between bread. No, you'll be meat in the dustbin very soon if you do not find your place. And know that he's the Lord God of the holy prophet. He showed them. If the Holy Spirit is the one who tells you things to come, who told Isaiah these things that were to come? Is it your spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. He came to them and taught them. Revealed the secret things to them. Which is for them and their children. That would include us. We agree to become the children of the prophets. So we partake in the things they were blessed with. Also, 2 Peter 1 verse 21 tells you, for no such prophecy was ever brought forth by the will of man. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. But men, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, spoke from God, not from their mind, not from angels, from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were carried along. It's when you're carried along by the Holy Spirit that you speak the words of God. So the scriptures tell you, if you desire gifts, it's good, especially that you may prophesy, that you may be carried along. Because he that prophesies, edifies, builds up the church. Not just himself. He builds up the church. The wild beasts, the unclean animals of the earth, the nations that the Lord brings together, he wishes to save them. I just showed you, it's all mankind. He wants to give a chance. There will be those that are rebels. He will judge them. Call it hell. Call it lake of fire. Call it what you like. You just saw it. Gehenna, the place of destruction. They will be destroyed. Destruction will come on them. I wanted to give you more on that. For that, we need to visit the prophet Zechariah chapter 14. The Feast of Tabernacles, Kareba Karadasa. The feast that is yet to come. The feast that is coming. The feast that everybody should be preparing for. The feast that everyone should want to know about. Because the others are easy. We've had them for so long. We can explain them. You don't know Jesus is the Passover lamb? You don't have Pentecost in your life? Have you received Pentecost? It's easy. It's tabernacles that we have not touched or handled yet. How do we qualify to celebrate it? Because there are those who will suffer in it. I just showed you some corpses. Yes. The book of Zechariah chapter 14. From verse 16, we will read it until we can stop at 19. Then all the survivors from the nations that came against Jerusalem will go up year after year. Say moon after moon.
Moon
Sabbath after Sabbath. Now they will go up year after year. Read with me. to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. There's no more Passover. There's no more Pentecost. There's a feast that will be celebrated. That is the one we are commemorating now and preparing for. So you can be amongst those that can go up there. It tells you that the people going to celebrate it are who? All the survivors
from
the nations that came against Jerusalem will go up year to year to worship
the King.
How does that fit into your theology? Okay, not let's not cause too much trouble. Verse 17. And should read any of the families of the earth not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, then the rain will not fall on them. Say the rain.
The rain.
That's the sign of tabernacles. Ask the Lord
for rain.
For rain. Who does not know that memory verse? Ask the Lord for rain.
The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Grass in the field for everyone.
Zechariah 10:1.
Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Grass in the field for everyone.
Ask the Lord for rain.
Ask the
in the time of the latter rain.
In the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Grass in the field for everyone.
Two more times.
Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Grass in the field for everyone.
One more time, say, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain.
The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Grass in the field for everyone.
Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord.
His going forth is established as the morning. Da, 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 da. He will come da, 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 to us like the rain. The latter and former rain to the earth.
Let us know, let us know.
Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain. To the
one more time.
Let us know, let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth.
We saw the Lord of hosts, and you are told to pursue the knowledge of the Lord of hosts. That's what we are doing right here, right now. There is the Lord of hosts and his knowledge. Now, Zechariah 14, Isaiah 66 is telling you the future. But you and I, Hosea is telling you the present or the past, looking to the future. Telling you, Zechariah is telling you, ask the Lord for rain. And that rain comes in the time of the latter rain. In the book of Hosea chapter 6 that we just sang, it says, let us know. The other one says, ask. This one says, no. And we saw what the rain is a meeting or two ago. It says, my teaching shall come to you like the rain. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we say it's the knowledge of the Lord that's the rain. Let us press on to know the Lord. And he promises you that as surely as the sun rises, and I'm showing you Malachi 4, the Lord will come like the sun of righteousness with healing in his wings. He says he will appear. That healing in his wings, that's what he was proving when he came the first time. Healings everywhere. He was trying to let them know, I am the Lord. They didn't get it, so they killed him. Do you know why it's so important to read the scriptures right? Let me tell the one who does not understand why you should study the Bible alone and with people. You couldn't study it enough. For those who don't know any history of Israel, the Pharisees were the strictest of their group that tried to so-called obey the law very much. The Sadducees were liberals. Oh, we don't believe in this. No, it's okay. No. Angels, I don't believe what I can't see with my eyes. Resurrection of what? Don't believe in that. Full of skeptics. The Pharisees were very strict. They gave tithe of things God did not mention that should be tithe. They tithe it. Pepper. See, they would carry small seeds like that and divide 1/10. They were strict. The Bible says they were, Paul was describing himself, he said, I was of the strictest sect. The third category are the Essenes. The Essenes are the both sides. They are like, you guys, nobody knows what you really are. Are you guys strict? Are you, what are you, sir? You can't, that's how the Essenes are. You look at them. Are they strict? Are they serious about fasting? Are they not? They are confusing. That's how the Essenes are. They were strict and they were free. They were both. They were safely in the middle. Jesus didn't talk about the Sadducees much. He didn't have their time. They just leave those guys alone. The Pharisees, he faced them because they are the ones that ought to know better. He said, if your righteousness does not exceed them, you are not be kingdom, you won't go. Every time he's hitting the Pharisees because they ought to do better. They didn't even talk about their sins at all. Just left them alone. And I won't tell you why I think so, but. And you wonder why. Everybody knew there were three. Their sins were separated in a significant way. They lived a bit separately. They would move away. They are there, but they operated. Their timetables were different. They used a different calendar from the rest. They were adjusted differently. They thought differently. They were very communal. They shared what they had a lot. A lot of what you read in Acts chapter 2, that's pure Essene practice. Long before Jesus was born, that's how they were, sharing things in common. That's Essenes. They're very different. The Lord I was clarifying something. The problem with not knowing things properly. Look at these Pharisees. They are the primary people that killed Jesus. The Sadducees were very political. They were the ones that usually controlled the position of high priest and all that ran in their family. They're very political, looking out for themselves. Pharisees were trying their best while trying to also be righteous a certain way. Now, because of their improper hearts, people who were saying, oh, the Lord is coming, oh, the Lord is coming, they killed him. What does that mean to you and I today? If you don't understand the knowledge of God, why he tells you, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of God, he will come like the rain. Why? What? He just gave you a clue. How does rain come? One bucket? No. Multiple drops. He tells you how he comes. You want him to come all at once. Bam. Willy, style. No. The Lord does raindrop style. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, let me start again. 1, 2, 3. Scattered. There. You're not even sure. Is that rain? There. I hear God is... I'm not sure if it's God. There. You are sure it's raining? No question. Check your clothes. That is how the Lord comes. But the average mind waits for him. No, don't worry. When he comes, bam. It's not his style. He came once and was around for 30 years and nobody had a clue. 30 years. So small. You couldn't find him again. Some shepherds spread some rumor around town. So small. Some wise travelers from far away have started another. I mean, because of what they started, they killed all the babies 2 years down. Just classic God. If you don't learn the ways of God, if you don't remember, he that boasts in this, that you understand and know me. You don't understand God. You want to understand God on the fly. You want to walk past. Hey, what's that say about Jesus? Okay. That's how you cannot understand the Lord like that. You want to understand the Lord? All your children shall be taught of me, and great shall be the peace of your children. You will first sit down. Matter, you're too busy about many things. Mary has the thing that is needful. What was Mary doing? Luke chapter 10. He sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus and listened to his words. And what she had cannot be taken away from her. In other words, matter, every material event. And what was she doing? She was trying to make food for Jesus. A feast, a spread. She was trying to impress. Instead of listening, like many of you till today, if you're here, we've told you. Why do you think we don't have dance session and this session and that session and this session and that session? I'm a victim from churches where the program list is long. You know why we have no program list? I've never had them. You'll never have by the grace of God. One thing you can be sure of is that you won't be too sure of anything when you come here. So the Lord wants to talk, teach. You want to dance because they had prepared. Why do you think we don't have a choir? How can we not have a choir? But we have hundreds of songs from the Holy Ghost. How? What do you think is happening here? That's how you keep Jesus outside. I showed you. Tell him to wait. We invite him in October program. Or December. Jesus is coming. Conference that we have once a year. When we permit the honor of the church to come. No, you leave the door open and he does what he wants, permitting. If it goes on that as we commence, we just keep worshiping, then we continue doing that. If we just keep praying, whatever he carries us into doing, we do that because it's his house. It's not by name. You can't just say it's the house of the Lord. Do you know
Do you not know you're in the house of the Lord? Young lady, cover your hair. Do you not know you're in the house of the Lord? Where's the program? Next, we will welcome our teenage choir. After that, the combined choir, you get ready. And the honor of the church is like, what do you want the poor Lord to do? What are you doing? Did you ask him? You really, let me know. I don't, who came? Who is this I'm looking for? Who is this? Welcome. Welcome. It's good to have you. Don't distract me too long. I want to talk about tabernacles. I'll say this much to you, okay? Now we have amazing singers. We have amazing voices. I found out after a couple of years of being their pastor, of being in the house, you hear a voice singing in the back. You're like, who is that? And all that. You know, we have people that were leaders of choirs, all sorts of things. When they come here, they sit down. You should have read some testimonies. Go online. You see the Nightingales. Have you read that testimony, Nightingales? Who does not know who it is? Should I show you? You don't know who it is. Let me see. You don't know who had that testimony. Did she lead today?
Yes.
I had depend on her today. That's her testimony. So she came from being the. She sat down for years. We didn't even know what she is. Because everybody that came here, we didn't know what you were. Nobody cares. So you came and you said to. Sit down. Sit down. Hear the word of God. We don't want matter. Because what matter has will be taken away from her. I am not preparing people who have what they have taken away. Have peace. How many of you enjoy the peace of not having to perform? The rest in your soul. It's like you went for an occasion. Who knows the difference between cooking for an occasion and going to eat what has been cooked? But you just experienced it last week. It is a delight not to have anything to do. I'll confess. One of those is my confession seasons. Who was that with the other day? I was lusting after. God, I was passing somewhere. I was hearing them have church. I said, I wish I could just enter that church and go and sit down behind. Who was that? Okay. We had a church meeting. Oh, it was the next day. Oh, I was walking around, overseeing things, administrating. Say, God, I wish I could go. I just see a church somewhere. I just say, God, could I sneak in and go and sit behind? 2 weeks, you will not find me. Enjoy it while it lasts. I've warned you. Your future looks worse than mine. Once in a while, I have to remind the unbelievers amongst you, and they are the new people who don't know anything. God bless you. Your future is bright, full of light. Can I assure you the Lord will use you? Just keep being like this. That's all. Don't do anything. Just study the word. Love God. Just be sincere. That's all. Don't try anything or don't try to be a minister. He will handle it. I am not joking. Have peace in your soul. Don't let anyone stress you. Don't mind anybody. You're okay. Just be righteous in life. Repent. Grow fruits. Get manure, water, sunlight. Endure persecution. Just continue on the path of God. You'll be in a large place. Rehoboth will be your portion. The Lord will make room for you. You're not saying amen? Have you seen this guy of church? The Lord will make room for you. They say, keep quiet. I say the Lord will make room for you. I'm sure our visitors are very confused. What kind of church is this? All any other church on earth, this roof will be threatened now. Because you have loved him, you have set your love on him, he will set you on high. Whether I say amen or not, it doesn't save you. Look at these funny people. For the visitors, sorry, let me save you. Okay, so they know that
So this is the problem with understanding. With much knowledge comes grief. So they know that God setting you on high is like you becoming David. That doesn't mean you lie down in a palace. That means you fight battles left, right, and center. You see, you've not thought about it. You want to be like David. And how was his life? Tell me your heroes. Tell me the people you like in the Bible. Let's discuss. Oh yeah, let me show you what eyes to see would do to you. You like Abraham? Really? Really? You choose someone? You choose Abraham? Shouldn't you look for someone that is more comfortable? Please, someone, male or female? I've heard two or three so far. So someone, so let me go with the Esther first. So you like to be, you admire Esther. Okay, it's well. That's a good role model. Esther has a life. Some fasting, some prayer, dry. Some palace politics, high level palace politics, threats of genocide. Yeah, she managed, she oversaw a few simple issues like that. Threats of genocide, was a slave in a foreign land first. Yeah, Esther is someone to look to. Forced marriage. Not so, yeah, fine. Esther is cool. I like the Esther guy. Who was the other person? Methuselah. He said you like to live long. You know, Methuselah means when he goes, it will come. There was a prophecy of a coming flood, a destruction from the Almighty. I will not strive a man forever. His days shall be 120. Might mean that from the time God said that, 120 years were remaining before the earth was judged. Methuselah lived, and every other person his mate, and even older than him, died. He kept living because he was a sign. He knew that when he dies, judgment is coming on the earth. How would you feel about dying if you know when you die, the world dies? You are literally, can you see, maybe he kept saying, Lord, please, extension of life. Not for himself. He was the marker of the coming judgment. He goes, the world goes with him. So it's believed as he just went. Judgment. In the year he died, by the estimates, calculations, the earth died. The earth was flooded. You should know, Methuselah therefore didn't die and leave Noah. He saw what Noah saw. Does that tell me? I mean, Methuselah saw what Noah saw. Now, it's when he left that the flood came. So here, Noah is the guy that survived the flood. Methuselah did not. Okay, he was gone. Either he slept peacefully or the flood. We choose not to believe the flood killed him. So he and Noah were contemporaries, even though it's his grandson, it's his family line. Yes? What did Noah see? Why did God judge the world? The world was so wicked that every thought of man continually was evil. Methuselah lived in horrible times when this world was so bad. So bad. Go and read Genesis 6. So bad. Methuselah was alive to see that. You would wish to die. It was so bad that God took Enoch and he was not. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. So every time you hear the days of Noah, you can feel free to say, and the days of Methuselah. There's a time you want to live long. There's a time you don't want to. The world was very evil. Terribly evil. They did very evil things. Remember that the gods, the sons of God, the angelic beings had taken wives from the daughters of men and had children that were known as giants. Men of old who did great things. The Nephilim. These beings, with the knowledge they got from their Zeus, Jupiter type fathers and Earth, came up with all kinds of things, including sorcery. The things in this world that you take now as normal, that's when it came. Before now, Bible says God made man simple. He came up with many inventions. The earth was simple. What is gold? Shiny metal. What's special about it? I don't know, but people will kill for it. It was a very dark time. That's what I'm trying to say. The time of Methuselah was horrible. The earth was really bad. It was so bad, God found only one man that was okay. One. And carried him and his family. Only one. That's how bad the earth was. That was the time of Methuselah. I don't think you want to be Methuselah. I don't think you know what Methuselah saw. I'm not taking any more examples. But I can assure you, have you heard the book of Ecclesiastes? That you should not say the older former days were better. Well, I've not seen it before. Give it to me. He said, don't say that those who say such things, you're not wise. Which day? There's no day that is better than the day you're in. In fact, this is one of the nicest times. It's going to get dark, but for now, let's enjoy it. Ecclesiastes 7:10. Do not say, why were the old days better than this? For it is unwise of you to ask about this. Very unwise. It sounds intelligent. Ah, in the 80s. Hush, ma'am. I remember the 90s. You were a child. That's why you remember it happily. You were a child. Go and ask about austerity. You were a child. I've heard. Everybody likes telling stories. Those days in the body of Christ, in the church. You can have it now. That thing you keep saying that used to be, you can have it now. Will you pay the price? What did they do then? Did they have the internet? Could you Google? Who says it was better? That there's more sin and temptation around now. Well, there was sin and temptation then. It might have just gotten slightly more concentrated because we are approaching the days that will be like the days of Noah. It's going to get darker. And that's why a tabernacle has to be built where you can hide. There's a place God has appointed for his people to be preserved during such seasons. Like Noah. These things were written for our learning. Which people? We, upon whom the ends of the age have come. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells you that there's a generation upon whom the ends of the age, verse 11, tells us. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings. Read it.
On whom the fulfillment of the ages has come.
The Bible was written down to serve as a warning. Genesis was written as a warning. In those days, the sons of God came down to the daughters of men. Ha ha! Hey, hey, oh, 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 hey, hey, oh. Have you heard Israel is fighting?
Yes, sir.
Who heard me talk about Israel fighting some days ago? Was Israel fighting when I said it? Nope. I just saw it yesterday. I heard they started fighting whether on Sunday and all that. So probably the same day I said it. Igbaga! The war they have started, I told you as I was talking, I talked about the war in when? This year and that year, Yom Kippur. Exactly. There has never been anything like what has just happened since 1973. In other words, I'm trying to inform. Did I just hear about how I went to preach in the law faculty? I didn't tell you where it was. In a school first and the presence of God. That, you see, that's what I was telling you. And I told you that it was a time, a season. Oh, I don't know. Was it not here I said it?
Yes.
I said that it was a time, a season. Can I suggest to you that another season has come? Israel is how you check the pulse of the earth directly. Oh, okay. So let me give you a quick history. 1947-48, Israel comes together as a nation for the first time since Jesus Christ prophesied in the year 70 AD. They were destroyed then. Jesus prophesied it around 30-something AD. By 70 AD, 70-75, Israel, Jerusalem was destroyed. Those prophecies Jesus made came to pass that they would tear down the stones of the temple. In 1947 is the first time they came to God and said, there's a nation called Israel. Between that time, it was called the time of the Gentiles, and they trampled the holy city. It was under the reign of Muslims for nearly 400 years. Then thereafter, from hand to hand, up and down, 1947, guess what happened then? A blood moon eclipse. An eclipse happened. Happened between 47 and 48. Two this year, two next. Significant. Yes. What happened at the same time? What is referred to as the latter rain movement? Power of God everywhere. Healing, miracles. God moved mightily. Servants of God arose. And that was also the period after the Second World War ended in 1945. That's it. So there were great upheavals in the earth. They had fought war. And then this power of God went forth. Healings, restoration, all over. 1967, about then. If I miss anything, it's been a long time since I looked. This is from 2014. This was what was happening. This is what I was hearing in 2014 when I had that meeting, when I described the glory of God showing up and amazing me. I've told you what happened in the physical. Israel came together and said, long live Israel. 1967, for the first time since forever, Jerusalem. So they had that land called Israel, but that area called Jerusalem, which is still has a mosque on it, and it has the West Wailing Wall. That's of the temple, remnants of the temple. That area came under the authority of Jews for the first time in forever. What also happened? Guess. Blood moons. Eclipses. 1, 2, 3, 4. What also happened? The summer of love. Hippies. What also happened? The Jesus movement. Oh, it's always so. It's always so. The same season. Satan will cook his food. There will be upheavals. And in the physical, they fought a war. Israel. In that 47-48, they fought a war. War of independence. 67, they fought a war. 73, they fought a war. Yom Kippur war. They fought a war. Again. That same season, there were moves of God. There was releases. The charismatic movement where, for the first time, they say Christians have gifts. Not clergy only. Christians have gifts. The heavens opened and all over it rained in the spirit. Around 2014. What did I mention? The blood moons? And again, 2014 was a season. I remember being there and wondering how clueless most of the churches, how they have no clue. Typically, Satan has done us strong thing. You will ride your own car. You live in your house. All around you, divine timetables are being marked off. Mega events are happening in the spirit. Christians are running. No, I'm praying. We are believing God for a job. It is terrifying to be blind. It's the worst thing in this world to have no clue. You just live like an animal. Meh, food, meh, moo, bark, wag your tail. I got something good. After that, what? You were born to be like this? When Israel has trouble, conflict, the ripple effect is spiritually relevant. The reason they are having it is because of what's happened in the heavenly. So when it happens on earth, there's a heavenly corroboration. Usually it happens probably in the heavens, then it reflects on earth. And it's also going to mark a season when the heavens will be open for something to happen in the church. Are you hearing me? I'm just saying I should inform you. Have a clue. Don't live from day to day. Play church. No, I'm going to that church. I'm in the meeting department. Okay. And what do you do? We are responsible for a man of God's biscuit. Okay. How many are you? Well, there are 52 of us. Then you do week by week. So, okay, so that's how you work for the body, for God. Yes, that's my own. Okay, so your own job comes once a year. That's the week they give me. We have a uniform. May you understand. May you understand. May you get a clue. Times and seasons. Meanwhile, the heavens are shaking because of the things that are coming upon the earth. So I just think you should know that when Israel goes to war, what happened some days ago, I got to hear, read for the first time yesterday, is the last time 600 died at once. They killed the Arabs. They have not succeeded. They'll say, they killed 15 Jews. Oh, they killed 20, almost 30. That's a record number. 600, 700. Kidnap all sorts. Because Israel always knows all these things. And I'm saying that mention was made of them here as I was preaching and talking about war, talking about nations, talking about bombs. Do you remember? On the explosions, the spirit of truth was carrying me along my mouth as it would, touching on relevant things, preparing your heart so you can take seriously the other things. Now, I haven't gone back to listen. I've begged my people that they should be making me hear and see what was said and why we have to keep summaries of meetings so that we can catch up. The Bible says, watch and pray. We pray a lot. We don't watch much. No, you have to watch and pray. If you only pray and don't watch, you never know what the result of the prayers. There are a few times we've kept track. Sometimes we don't know it for years. We don't even see the correlation. Many things have happened that God hinted us, told us. And I'll say, I was hearing this man of God. I never completed that sentence. And he talked about the plowman overtaking the reaper. I saw that today. A video clip, one of the leaders clipped out. Now, that was Sunday, right? We read it. And he said, God, he kept saying, occupy. He said, occupy, occupy, occupy. You know, and said, the plowman is good. That's a year of, I told you. Now, I'm sure, being us, you just take it, pastor, just one of pastor's many things he shares. Can you take it from an internationally recognized prophet that the same thing I said here, he said the same thing, and he said, God is saying that this is what the season is. Now, you had it delivered to you in your own local restaurant. So try to be aware, because there's a principle of expectation. When you expect nothing, you usually get nothing. Jesus went to his hometown. They expected nothing. They got nothing. He went elsewhere. They expected something. They got a lot. It's necessary. You have your cup filled according to the size of the cup. So bring a thimble. They will not pour it on the ground. They just put thimble size. Bring a communion cup. Bring a groundnut cup. Did they still use it? That small white thing. I don't know what they use. C- come with a bucket. What you fill up with water is what you change to wine. So if you like, bring a cup of water. You have a cup of wine. According to your faith, so be it unto you. That's what the Lord constantly said. You must expand your ability to receive. Amen? The times and seasons of God are upon us, people of God. Throughout history, God has remnants who pay attention, who hear, who are attentive. The company that will celebrate tabernacle properly and enjoy it are the remnant company. Let's look at it. We were at chapter 14 of Zechariah verse 16 and we read up till verse 17. And he said the rain will not fall on any of the families of who? The earth. And then he begins to give you some of the families on earth. Read.
And if the people of Egypt will not go up and enter in, then the rain will not fall on them. This will be the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles.
What feast?
Tabernacles.
So the feast that will be celebrated in the coming days will be the Feast of Tabernacles. Not Passover, not Pentecost. That is past. This is the season we are coming to. So your knowledge, I was explaining how knowledge works. Why knowledge is so important. Why the kind of knowledge you are acquiring is so important. Why the quality of knowledge is so important. If you don't have proper knowledge, I told you the Pharisees had wrong knowledge. They killed the Messiah they were waiting for. They killed him. That's what bad quality knowledge will do. Knowledge mixed with pride. See, it's not proper knowledge if you're full of pride and you have knowledge. What does it say? For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge self-control and to self-control perseverance and to perseverance godliness and to godliness brotherly kindness and to brotherly love.
Again, for this very reason, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge self-control and to self-control perseverance and to perseverance godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness and love.
One more time for this very reason,
for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control.
I call this the seven steps to love. And you see, you add to knowledge self-control. You can't just have knowledge. With knowledge, your head will grow big. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So you must go on from knowledge to self-control. And from self-control, you must persevere. Now, how terrible it is if all you have is your faith. I believe in Jesus. That's all that matters. Nope. You have seven more levels to go. You're going to have to add virtue. You're going to have to add knowledge. And then when you have knowledge, you must add self-control. Because knowledge has a way of making you misbehave. Do you know what I know? I said, you know what I know. You big-headed fellow. You add self-control to that your knowledge, or it will knock you over. It will puff you up and you lift off. And we will not be able to pull you down. Like a hydrogen balloon. You're going to need to add self-control. That will restrain your... Have you seen a big balloon? Very nice. The child is playing and doesn't have self-control. Next thing you hear is pop on the grass. You're trying to tell the child, slow down. They don't hear. You know, they press it, they hug it, they squeeze it. It blows up in their face. Their knowledge has blown up. So knowledge can do that to you. I know. The little you know, we can never forget. We can never forget. You not allow us have peace. The little you know. You should add to your knowledge self-control, restraint. So you don't have self-control. A man of God with grace and power in the hour. But he doesn't have self-control. He can't control himself with money, with girls, with this, with that. You gone, bro. You gone. He's going to take you out. Satan will take you out. The guy has been studying. If you listen to this guy. He's been studying. Yes, we thank God. Good. When do you develop self-control? No. Me, anything I learn, immediately I share it. That's why I visit different groups. Sharing. I'm always talking somewhere. Talking. You know what I know? I said, do you know what I know? So you were talking. Okay? You have knowledge. I advise you, find a place and let it percolate. You're going to have self-control, or your knowledge will harm you. Have big knowledge. It takes time. Knowledge has 7 levels. Every word of God is like silver. Refined 7 times in a furnace of earth. You are the earth. You need a furnace. Karabakatakaya. Fire. Say fire. When God puts you through. See, that's how he cooks the knowledge. It's a refining process. Don't be refined 7 times. Proverbs 12. Psalm 12, sorry. Verse 6. It's going to be refined. Purified 7-fold. It will come out as petroleum jelly. And a version of it will come out as liquefied natural gas. All the others in between. All sorts of things. Diesel, kerosene, petrol. All of it comes from the same crude oil. That's how knowledge works. So you look at it, you say, no, this black thing cannot be the same as my Vaseline. If you know what comes from crude oil, you will not believe it. If you know what comes from that one thing. So, are you saying what this man of God is saying is wrong? It may not be wrong, but it's very crude. But he said this thing. There's a lesson. Yes, there's something to learn there. Jesus wants us. Like petroleum jelly. Yeah, that's true. But there's a version of that knowledge that's like gas, too. Light. Can't touch it. Spiritual. There's dimensions to every word of God. It's flawless. How on earth are you going to refine it 7 times when you took off after you got the first extract? Phew. What made Rockefeller the richest man on earth? Oh, this is crazy. Phew. Wow. Oh, he refined and he worked on his thing and did this and that. Henry Ford Motors. Rockefeller owned almost 95% of all the oil being extracted in the U.S. Was very wealthy. But he found, at the time, they didn't know what it is. It was petrol. They just said it's extremely volatile, very unsafe, can explode. They were using kerosene. When you hear them say, oh, paraffin to light the lamps, your kerosene lamps, that's what was being used all over the United States and all of that. And, of course, transporting was an issue. Vanderbilt showed up. Vanderbilt went from this waterways, controlling the boats, to controlling railways, you know, again. And, you know, so transporting things became easier, one thing after another. But the point is that that volatile chemical that they couldn't use, you couldn't use petrol to as a lamp. Now picture using petrol in your lantern. There'll be a lot of burnt down houses. So it was very volatile. They couldn't, it's when, so the automobile, which was yet to be invented in a usable state, Henry Ford was coming up, and at the time that's what was used to run cars. Don't think you, this world, you were born to meet petrol, diesel, kerosene. I hope you know people were walking the kings out of this thing just barely 100 years ago. They were just walking, experimenting. 100, about a century ago, trying to know what's this thing? What is this one? So as they refined, they discovered different things will come up. And that's how it can be. Now, if petrol is bad, gas, uncle. Do you know how much loss, how much damage, how many lives have been lost in the process of refining? You see, every word of God is flawless as silver refined. Question, are you willing to pay the price of discovering what the word of God can do? The refining process, because fire is what those things sit on to start separating into different things. That process is the reason most people settle for crude oil Christianity. Just, but you see, listen. Let's keep it simple. Already digging deep to get this one's hard enough. Let's just, don't worry, we use it like that. Black. And they will put it in, they'll put it in things and drink. Till now, Nigerians talk about putting on what? Wounds? What do you guys, wait, tell me, crude oil, the people went on, you know. What do they put it on? They say it can help it. What? Burns. Crude oil. Crude people. Did you try Vaseline? Just went for the crude. It looks unique. So let's use it. I don't know anything. I'm not for or against, but it sounds very scary to me. So you took something that contains diesel, kerosene, petrol, or you put it on your body. I didn't say it's wrong, bro. I mean, I'm sure there's no scripture against it. Except the scripture against stupidity, but even that thing I just said, I don't know why I said it. And I almost take back my words. If I'm wrong, if I'm right, I don't take it back. But I don't know if I'm right or wrong. Have I exonerated myself? Lawyers? Okay, good. So, I just know that it would be, you wouldn't do certain things. You thought your baby heals, I mean, who knows? But all those things come from that. The same word of God. All right, let me refine something from here for you. I've tried to read this. We've looked at Zechariah 14. And what have you seen? You've seen that tabernacles will be the feast to celebrate in the coming days. Can I suggest to you that this is not the fullness of the day? How do you tell this to the church of God? Do you really think this is when no more tears? These people don't have rain, no? You know that's a problem, right? Can I suggest to you that this is likely an in-between place between now and the beautification of all things? When is this? We'll see. When it comes, we'll see. Let's not conjecture too much, at least not in this meeting. But understand that seasons will come. When you not have rain, you didn't celebrate tabernacles. You didn't recognize the king. What is tabernacles? Let's go to the book of Leviticus. Chapter 23. And let me show you something impressive from the Most High God. Then we go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Oh yeah, we are at Leviticus chapter 23. We already have seen some. So I'll just read from verse 39. Okay? On the 15th day of the 7th month, after you have gathered the produce of the land, you are to celebrate a feast to the Lord. How long? For seven days. 7 days. 7 days is from what day? I mean now, when we started. Today is the 8th day. 7 days from Tuesday back. Was what? Wednesday last week to Tuesday. I want to show you something. There shall be complete rest on the first day and also on the eighth day. This would be the equivalent of the 8th day. Are you hearing me? Today. God wants you to have rest in your soul. Are you hearing me? These are the appointed festivals. The scriptures tell you some things, however, that you're to do during this period. And you are to understand the spiritual meaning. We are looking into the future. When it plays out, let me do that thing I like doing again, briefly. When Passover played out, could anyone have imagined that Passover lamb would be a human being? Even if you imagine it would be a human being, can you imagine that it would be the same Messiah that is to come and save the whole world and save Israel? There's no way when these things play out, it plays out the way you think. Are you hearing me? Oh, believe me. I've told you one of the things that amuse me is when Christians speak dogmatically. You know, it will be 1, 2, 3. I'm always very amused. Who could have believed that Pentecost, when there's going to be a waving of the first fruit sheaf, you take a bundle, some of the wheat harvest, and wave, that it could represent a group of people that will be the beginning, a representation of the larger harvest of the church. For that's what Pentecost is. And most don't even know. How many people understood that it was the coming down till today? Almost all of you probably heard it here, that it represents the same thing that happened when Moses brought the children of Israel to the mountain in the 3rd month. And the Lord came there and spoke to them. That's the teacher coming, the spirit of truth. Who could have understood that Pentecost, that they used to celebrate 50 days from Passover, was representing the teaching or the teacher of righteousness? As Joel chapter 2 calls him, the teacher of righteousness. He would teach you all things. John 16 says, when he comes, he will teach you and convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, because you instruct your mouth, and as you open it, you result in conviction. People will get to know, oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh, this is what righteousness is. And God has chosen to make me righteous. And of judgment, oh, this is the judgment of God. That's what the teacher comes. Those three dimensions. This is the job of the Holy Spirit. And of course, you have even now people telling you, oh, don't talk about sin. Don't be sin conscious. That's a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. He talks about sin. He convicts. It's when he comes, he will convict. So I look at someone, people are not convicted in regard to sin, righteousness, or judgment. Can I suspect that the Holy Spirit is not here? Oh, every time. No, we don't really want to come and talk to people. I heard a preacher years ago, I don't know if you've seen the video, and he said he doesn't talk of sin and the devil, and the three things or so. Satan, the devil. Whoever saw that video? Some very famous preacher. I'm not saying anything against him, but you don't say sin. Oh no, people are already so burdened with trouble, so I don't want to add to it. And that's what he said. So we don't like people to feel condemned. You want to know who?
Yes, sir.
How do you not know? It's very old. It was on CNN. These things are not secret. Largest church in America. Huh? You know the largest church in America? It's a massive football field. It's massive. It's a bowl. Sports bowl. You don't know the largest church in America. How do you not know? What do you know?
Gary.
The price of Gary. Okay. Constantly fluctuating price of Gary. Okay. Last church. Joe Austin. It was on Larry King Live, you know. Oh no, this other lady. No, was it opera? You know, she said, so there are these three words you don't use. Oh yes, I don't like. Again, I'm not saying anything. But if the Holy Spirit is around, his job is to convict the world in regard to sin. You don't get convicted. What makes you say, Lord, forgive me. Help me change. If you're not convicted, why do you want change? Be comfortable in your condition of righteousness. You're to be convicted of righteousness. You're to be convicted of judgment. A true servant of God bringing the word of the Lord, when he preaches, if you feel no conviction of one or two or all of these three things, if they are not constantly convicting you of these things, convincing you properly, making you pay attention to these matters, if I don't preach and you think of judgment day, the evil I have done you is not small evil. If you listen to me constantly and it doesn't bother you, no, every time, don't leave him. He has a spirit of condemnation. Who are you talking to? Is that the Holy Spirit you're talking to or the human being? Because the job of the Holy Spirit is to convict of sin. Now, like anything, it can be abused. It can be carried to an extreme. We can say hell straight. For seeing your elbow, hell straight. That's a real belief. You're laughing like I came up with that. I'm not that sharp. Male and female, not female only. So there's some things that are not conviction, they are confusion. They just sound alike. The Holy Spirit was to do something. This, who could have believed that the Feast of Weeks represented this? But God had put the pattern. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, God will dwell amongst us and we shall ever be with the Lord. And there will be no more tears and sorrow. And you think it's going to play out smoothly. I've told you, it's the longest feast. A period of 21 days. It spans across. The other one was 7 plus 8. And then the other one was 1. In a moment of time. Then there's coming this long series of events that will unfold. Who could have told how Pentecost, Passover and Pentecost unfolded? You cannot unfold. So I speak with care. I don't speak bombastically. Speak with care. We know, what can we know? This is what we can be sure of. That in that season, the Lord intends to show up and dwell amongst his people. That was his promise. That I am sure of. I am sure of that in that season, certain things will happen, and I know it will last a while. If Passover was just a day, started with unleavened bread, 7 days, you know, that Passover, 7 days, no yeast in your dwelling places, your habitations. That was that. And it manifested in the Lord Jesus dying, all that. It was over. Then Pentecost, a day, Holy Spirit came suddenly, whoosh! And people began to speak, and people heard them in their own languages. A prophecy of things that will happen. When did 3,000 men once die or do anything? When Moses came down from that mountain, when he went to get the law of the Lord, and Jesus came with the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's the law of sin and death. Let me explain it quickly. Moses goes up the mountain. The people are worshiping idols. He comes down. Open it. They take a sword and go in. And about 3,000 men are slain. 3,000 men in the book of Exodus. When Moses comes down and they are worshiping idols. Now that number is put in there so you understand. This is when the Levites were separated to him. These are the ones who are willing to take up the sword against their own brothers and sisters. They took the word of God and used it to convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When Moses came down with the law of God. You're not hearing me. Moses broke the law because they had broken it. Let's not be pretending here. Didn't you guys just break all the laws? So he broke it. He proved what they had already done.
When he said, you know it as a song, who is on the Lord's side? The Levites gathered to him and said, take your sword, go in. And that day about 3,000, Exodus 32 verse 28. 3,000. Now jump to the book of Acts of the Apostles. No coincidences here. 2 verse 40. With many other words he testified and he urged them, be saved from this corrupt generation. Read. Those who embraced his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to the believers that day. Zero coincidence. That is the day of Pentecost. That was the first day of Pentecost when he went to the mountain. On the day the Lord came, 50 days from Passover. In Exodus, this is 50 days from Passover. In the time of Jesus. Exactly. No coincidence. It's the Lord putting his stamp on it. Remember, the things that are written. Written for our learning. Romans 15 verse 4. For our education, our instruction. You are to know these things. And it's supposed to encourage you. The encouragement of scripture is what it's called. So you know you're not on your own. Now, you and I too. Look at me. There are things that will happen in this end of the age. Why you and I must know the scripture so thoroughly is because the devil is going to throw all kinds of deception that you cannot believe. If you have not learned to see these things in scripture, Satan will deceive you easily. I'm going to say that again. Some of you think, well, no, this Bible is really simple. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. And he's coming again for his own. That's Christianity. That's the message of the gospel, simple. I presume you're trying to be funny. If you do not understand these, all these nuances, Satan will bring a false gospel. How do you think the Bible says, all who dwell on the face of the earth will bow down and worship the image of the beast? Or have you not read it? See, unfortunately in your brain, false erroneous teaching tells you that all Christians will be gone. So that it's the unbelievers that will be bowed down to the beast and following him. When the Bible says that if it were possible, even the elect, you didn't pay attention to what you read. And if you think the elect is all Christians, you're not still paying attention. The elect were the 7,000. Romans chapter 11. There were 7,000 in all of Israel. All of Israel. All of Israel. The elect were 7,000. Israel represents the church, not the nations. So the elect cannot be all the church because the elect is a small group. A small group who have not bowed the knee. And he says, if it were possible, even those ones in the category of what is called the elect would be deceived and worship the beast and his image. The book of Revelations. And how are you going to stand up and say, no, all Christians will not be there. Are you reading the Bible? You're going to be careless with scriptural interpretation and you think, no, you have to pay attention to what, it is a reason it was written. As a warning for you and I, upon whom the end of the age has come. You're not going to, I repeat, breeze through. Oh, la, 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 la. What definitely? Well, it's okay. It's not my portion. It will be your portion in large portions. It's kitchen spoon they will serve you with. How can it, whose portion will it be? It's going to be the portion of the whole earth. Jesus said, like a snare in the book of Luke, it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. He said, like a trap, like a net thrown. He said, all who dwell on the face of the earth. You're going to look into that and say, no, it's not my portion. Are you real? It's on all. No, Christians will be removed. Removed to where? Like the days of Noah, they were removed to where? Like the days of Lot, they were removed to where? He told you the 2 days it will be like. Here you are believing what you want to believe. Because your favorite preacher said it. Have you ever studied for yourself? Have you ever heard the other opinion? I'm giving you the other opinions. Which you're not even aware of. And by the way, they are not two opinions. They are like 70. You have no clue of how many ideas people have. You just haven't met it yet. There's a reason to be a student of scripture. A lot of scripture. Oh, let me show you when we go to the book of Nehemiah. But let's finish this. Perebete. On the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the produce of the land. Look at me. What's the produce of the land? There are three major produces. One, barley. Two,
wheat.
Wheat. Three,
grapes.
So this is after the harvests. Multiple harvests have happened. And this is the last day harvest. Say after. This is going, this is Matthew 13. Write it down. We won't open it. This is after the Lord has gone through the earth, gathering the last day harvest. You better be involved. There's a reward for harvesters. Kareba papa. Yashata kuta te. You better be involved. You better sign up. Let them put your name down on the harvesters list. Oh, you better not put yourself in a condition where you do not labor in the fields. Ask the Lord of the harvest that he might send workers into his field. Send Ekbalu to kick out, to thrust out. Suddenly, if that word is not gentle at all, it doesn't even mean what you think. Send, would you please? Mm-mm. Just find yourself falling out like that. What did I do? Nothing. I just said you should go and walk there. Well, me, I'm planning. I'm planning to just settle down, just have two children. Okay. Okay. Let's see how that works for you. Just keep my phone number. You might need it. Forget me, but don't lose the number. Just when you wake up, call. No, I'll give you my wife's number. Call my wife. So you not disturb me. See, get ready to walk, oh. Because there must be a harvest before the time comes. You're not hearing me? No, you're still confused.